Welcome back to National Football Authority Radio. I am your host, Matt Baxendale. And with the advent of bowl season starting tomorrow, you got to make some picks in these games. Now, I know a lot of people out there are interested in their own particular teams. 35 bowl games is just an extremely high number of bowls, which of course means if you're involved in a bowl pick'em pool, then that makes this even more interesting. Look, we have nearly a month of football games to go. And while a lot of these games are not particularly inspiring, truth of the matter is, it's still football, and the offseason's a really, really long time. So what we're going to do here, I'm going to go about a minute on each game. We're going to run right on through some quick thoughts. I'm going to pick the games, and hopefully this is a guide for those of you who are doing college football pick'em games. This is the first time in a few years I haven't actually written a preview for every single bowl game. But you know what? This is a little easier to do. There's a lot going on in college football with all the hirings and firings and Urban Meyer getting recruits to Ohio State. So enjoy. And thank you for tuning in to National Football Authority's College Football Bowl Preview for the 2011-2012 bowl season. First game of bowl season, Temple, Wyoming, and the New Mexico Bowl. There's an equal motivation here. They're both excited to be there. Wyoming won their first bowl game last year in a very long time. Temple got left out last year, so you know they're thrilled to play. It's only been 2-3 weeks since these two teams played games as well, so there's not going to be a lot of rust. So this is really going to be one of those rare bowl games. It actually comes down to matchups versus motivation and preparation. In that regard, you have to look at Temple's tailback, Bernard Pierce. He's going to be playing in the NFL probably next year. And he's going against the 115th-ranked rush defense in America. Wyoming, you're in trouble. Bernard Pierce is going to get it done. I'm taking Temple to win the New Mexico Bowl.
The famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Famous Idaho Potato Bowl? Wow, there's a heck of a name. All right, well, this is the one that takes place on the Smurf Turf up in Boise. It's going to be between Utah State and Ohio. Now, this is an interesting bowl game. Both teams are going to be motivated because Ohio's never won a bowl game, and Utah State hasn't won one in 20 years. Flip side of the coin, Utah State has won their last 5 games in the regular season, and they had a guarantee at a basketball game earlier this year that they're going to win this bowl game. On top of that, Utah State, I think, is just a better team. They probably should have beat BYU. They certainly should have beaten Auburn. As of right now, it looks like Utah State is the pick in this game. I am taking the Aggies to knock off the Bobcats in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
The R&L Carriers, New Orleans.
Ah, New Orleans, Mardi Gras, Bourbon Street. What a great place for a bowl game. Of course, it'll probably be the least exciting of the 3 bowl games in New Orleans this year. But let's talk about the New Orleans Bowl. It's between San Diego State and Louisiana Lafayette. And this is going to be an interesting game because this is Louisiana Lafayette's first bowl ever. It happens to be in their home state. Now, these two teams, when you compare them head-to-head, San Diego State's a better team than Louisiana Lafayette, in my opinion. They have a better player, and Ronnie Hillman, a tailback, is probably going to be in the NFL. But on the flip side of the coin, you got to think that Louisiana Lafayette's going to be so incredibly excited for this game. They're going to be so pumped to play, much like San Diego State was last year when they played in their home state for the bowl game. I'm taking Louisiana Lafayette purely because of the emotion that comes with playing in their first bowl game. Raging Cajuns for the win.
On December 20th, the Beefo Brady's Bowl.
There's nothing that says classic quite like the Beefo Brady's Bowl. Between Marshall and Florida International on December 20th. This is an interesting game. FIU won their first bowl game last year. They got some good momentum. Of course, Mario Cristobal is probably one of the biggest up-and-coming coaches in college football. He'll be coaching somewhere a lot bigger than Florida International in the future. FIU's won 4 of the last 5 games. And the other thing, too, is FIU has by far the best player on either team. That's T.Y. Hilton, who's the best kick returner in the country, in my opinion. On top of that, you have to wonder how excited Marshall's just going to be in Florida, whereas Florida International's playing a few hours from home. I have to think that at this point, FIU is the favorite. I'm taking the Golden Panthers to win back-to-back bowl games for the first time in their history.
On December 21st, the Poinsettia Bowl.
This year's Poinsettia Bowl matches the champions of the WAC, Louisiana Tech, versus the champions of the Mountain West, TCU. Now, TCU is obviously going to the Big 12 next year, but Louisiana Tech has had a lot better season than most people realize. They've won their last 7 games in a row. So this is actually not as big of a mismatch as you would think. Flip side of the coin, TCU has a heck of a lot more postseason experience than Louisiana Tech. And after all, Louisiana Tech's only played 1 bowl game in the last 10 years. On top of that, I think TCU is simply the better football team when you line these teams up head-to-head. You have to think that the Horned Frogs are going to go out of the Mountain West in style. Take TCU to win this game, and they'll probably win it by more than a score.
On December 22nd, the Mako Las Vegas Bowl.
The Las Vegas Bowl, a.k.a. the biggest mismatch of bowl season. On one team, you have Boise State, whose starting quarterback has won more games than another quarterback in the history of college football, and who should probably be playing in a BCS game. On the other side, you have Arizona State, who went 6-6 and couldn't even win the worst Pac-12 South that'll probably ever be in the next 20 years. And also, their best player, linebacker Vontaze Burfict, might not even be playing, and their coach was fired. Boise State's going to win this game, and it won't be close.
On Christmas Eve, the Hawaii Bowl.
You know, there's a soft spot in my heart for the Hawaii Bowl. Largely because every Christmas Eve when I'm hanging out with my family, it's the football game on in the background. Not because it's actually a good football game. Now, this year's game would theoretically be a mismatch between Southern Miss and Nevada. The Southern Miss is the CUSA champion, is a clear better team than Nevada. But their head coach just left to go to UNC, leaving them with an interim coach, no idea who's going to be next. Nevada at least knows who's in charge. The other side of the coin here you have to remember, too, is that Nevada went to Hawaii a couple years ago and got drilled by SMU. I think they got too excited on the beach. Well, that's a problem for Southern Miss now. Are they going to go to Hawaii and be ready to play a football game, or are they going to be completely distracted and hang out on the beach? I think Nevada's going to be ready to play this game. I'm not so sure Southern Miss will. Taking Nevada to win the Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve.
On December 26th, the Independence Bowl.
The Independence Bowl, North Carolina versus Missouri. This is another one of those games that's not particularly endearing. North Carolina's interim coach Everett Withers is coaching his final game before he leaves to join the defensive staff at Ohio State, and Missouri's already looking forward to joining the SEC. Now, this is one of those games, it's an absolute toss-up, and any bowl game involving North Carolina, frankly, is always a toss-up. The last 3 bowl games have been decided by a field goal or less. At this point in time, I think you have to go with Missouri. They have a coaching staff in place who is preparing to move to the SEC. And I just think they're going to be more focused. I think they're going to use this as a springboard towards being competitive in an SEC East next year. And I'm going to go with Missouri, but this is a game that, frankly, you could take either team.
On December 27th, the Little Caesars Bowl. Ready, steady,
pizza, pizza. Little Caesars Bowl, December 27th, Purdue and Western Michigan. Western Michigan's never won a bowl game, but this is Purdue's first bowl game in 4 years since the 2007 Little Caesars Pizza Bowl. Purdue got to 6-6 this year on the strength of a big upset over Ohio State. They finished the season with a win over rival Indiana. You know, Western Michigan can throw the ball really well, but their best receiver, Jordan White's going to be covered by Ricardo Allen at Purdue, who's one of the best defensive backs in the Big Ten. I think this will be a fairly close game, but Purdue's just a more talented team, and I'm going to go with the Big Ten and Purdue in this one.
The Belk Bowl.
The Belk Bowl. What is Belk, anyways? Is it like a department store? I don't know. Anyways, it's between Louisville and North Carolina State. It's a matchup between a Louisville team that was one of the youngest in the country this year. And you really have to think that with a true freshman quarterback like Teddy Bridgewater, they're going to get a lot better pretty quick. The other thing you have to remember between these two teams is that Louisville's won 5 of their last 6 games. They started off terrible, but they actually won a share of the Big East. NC State kind of floated under the radar, really didn't do a lot impressive this year. You know, I think Louisville's young stars, particularly Bridgewater, are going to be the difference in this game. I think they're going to really springboard into a strong season next year in the Big East. I'm taking Louisville to win the Belk Bowl. And if anybody can tell me what it is, if it's a department store or something, at Matt Baxdell on Twitter. That'd be great. Thank you.
On December 28th, the Military Bowl.
December 28th, the Military Bowl. Air Force versus Toledo. This is going to be quite the game to watch. First, because Air Force is an option team, and more often than not in bowl season, teams that haven't played the option generally take a full half to figure them out. You know, it's a very different type of offense just because it's so rare these days. On top of that, Toledo also has the net negative going for them of the fact that their head coach, Tim Beckman, just left to go to Illinois. And now offensive coordinator Matt Campbell is officially taking over full-time. It's a good promotion. They're going to want to do well for him. But there's a lot going against them here. If they weren't playing against an option team, particularly an effective one like Air Force, which won the Commander-in-Chief trophy this year, I'd give Toledo a lot better shot. But Air Force in the Military Bowl against a Toledo team in transition, can't pick against the Falcons, right? Air Force winning this game.
The Holiday Bowl.
Oh, if it were 2004, this would be one hell of a football game. Texas versus Cal. Remember when these two teams, both of them wanted the spot in the Rose Bowl opposite Michigan, and Texas's coach Mac Brown lobbied for the spot, and they squeaked just ahead of Cal and denied Cal a chance to go to the Rose Bowl for the first time in 40 years? Yeah, that would have been a lot better game than this one. Both these teams have sort of fallen into the middle of the pack in their respective conferences, but Texas had a lot more injuries. I think the Longhorns would be a little more prepared in terms of actually having guys back on the lineup. The other thing, too, is I think Texas is really starting to rebound. They went 5-7 last year, 7-5 right now. If they win this bowl game this year, they can go to 8-5 and really jump strong into the Big 12 next year, maybe even jump into the championship race in the conference. I think this game means more to Texas, and I think Texas is going to get it done.
On December 29th, the Champs Sports Bowl.
Let's call this the Name Recognition Bowl. Florida State and Notre Dame. Wow, 20 years ago, this would have been a heck of a football game. And I can guarantee you this will be one of the highest rated games of the entire bowl season just because it's Notre Dame and Florida State. The actual game itself, I think, is a mismatch. Notre Dame, they don't even know who they're starting a quarterback. It's going to be Tommy Rees. It's going to be Andrew Hendricks. Who knows? Meanwhile, Florida State's only loss since early October was a one-point loss to Virginia. So they're kind of playing pretty well lately. On top of that, this is Notre Dame in bowl games. They don't win bowl games. They beat Miami last season in the Sun Bowl. Good job. They won the Hawaii Bowl a few years before that. Great. Otherwise, the only bowl game they've won in the last 20 years was, what, 1993, 94? No. Florida State's going to win the Champ Sports Bowl, and this is going to be a great nostalgia kick.
The Alamo Bowl.
Heisman Trophy, baby! The Alamo Bowl. RG3 takes Baylor up against a Washington team that has a lot better offense than most people realize. In fact, Keith Price, who's the starting quarterback for the Huskies, is probably going to be one of the bigger name quarterbacks in college football in the next couple years. But it's not the next couple years. Robert Griffin III is the Heisman Trophy winner. This may be his swan song at Baylor. It's a chance for the Baylor Bears, Baylor, to win 10 games. I have to say Baylor's the favorite in this, but here's what should clinch this pick for everyone. Baylor's the nation's number 2 offense. Washington is the nation's number 94 scoring defense. Baylor has got to be the pick in this game. There's no question about it. RG3 win what might be his final college game leads the Baylor Bears to their 10th win of the season.
On December 30th, the Armed Forces Bowl.
All right, the Armed Forces Bowl, December 30th, BYU and Tulsa. We should call this the battle of teams that haven't beaten anybody all year. Tulsa's 8-4, but their 4 losses were to Boise State, Houston, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State. So they've beaten everybody else, which is nice. Flip side of the coin, you have BYU, whose most impressive win is against Ole Miss? No, Ole Miss. They haven't beaten anybody impressive this year either. Look, the bottom line here is that BYU... they have been relatively decent this year. On the flip side of the coin, you have Tulsa, who a quarterback is a guy by the name of G.J. Kinney. He can run, he can pass, and against teams of the caliber of BYU this year, in the 8 games that they won this year, 21 touchdowns, 5 picks. G.J. Kinney is going to be the difference in this one. I'm taking Tulsa.
The Pinstripe Bowl.
The Pinstripe Bowl's back this year. Yankee Stadium. And Rutgers is playing in the Pinstripe Bowl? Talk about a home field advantage. But is it going to be enough to win the game? That's my question, because this is an Iowa State team that comes to play. Look, the first time they played in a bowl game under Paul Rhodes, they upset Minnesota in the Insight Bowl. Iowa State always plays tough. You know what? This is also the final game for offensive coordinator Tom Herman, who's leaving to go to Ohio State. And he's done a heck of a job developing a young team here. I just think Iowa State's better prepared to win this game of two teams that are probably a little stronger in defense. I think Iowa State's also a team that is tenacious and is always going to play to the final whistle. And I think that they're just so motivated to win for Paul Rhodes just because the way he has built the atmosphere around that program. I'm thinking Iowa State in a very low-scoring game.
The Music City Bowl.
All right, the Music City Bowl this year. This is a matchup between Wake Forest and Mississippi State, a.k.a. teams that typically finish between 10 and 12 in their conference. Now, this has been a year for Wake Forest where they've had some surprises. They actually upset Florida State on the strength of their defense. But Mississippi State's a team that's had some bad luck this year. Look, you know, they're a team that almost upset Auburn. They're a team that played Alabama tough. And they're going against a Demon Deacon team at Wake Forest that lost four of their last five games and were absolutely shellacked by Vanderbilt at the end of the year. I have to think that Mississippi State, in the Music City Bowl, which is not that far from home for them, they're going to have that home crowd advantage. I think they're going to get the job done. Mississippi State, the Insight Bowl. The Insight Bowl. Talk about a bowl that's gotten a lot more prominent in the last couple years with the bowl realignments. This year they have Iowa and Oklahoma. Now, this is a game that has a lot of name value. But it's not really a good matchup on the field. Iowa went 7-5, Oklahoma went 9-3. Iowa wasn't really expected to do much more than win 8 games this year. Oklahoma was my pick in the preseason to win the national championship. Oklahoma was derailed by injuries and a weird thunderstorm. Iowa was derailed by the fact that they simply played better football teams than them. Now, Iowa's entire offense is based around Marcus Coker running the football, where on the flip side of the coin, Oklahoma's quarterback Landry Jones has not been good the last 3 games. Plain and simple. But the talent difference between these two teams is so stark, and Bob Stoops is coaching against his alma mater for the first time. I have to think this is Oklahoma. I mean, this almost seems like a no-brainer when you think about it, but Iowa always plays them tough, so you never know, but I'm taking Oklahoma in this game.
On December 31st, the Meineke Car Care Bowl of Texas.
All right, the Texas Bowl between Northwestern and Texas A&M. Well, we know he's going to have the crowd advantage in this game, don't we? Now, as for the game itself, this is a game where you're going to see two teams that, frankly, don't know how to defend a lead. Texas A&M has blown more leads than anybody in the country this year. And this is probably going to be a really exciting football game on New Year's Eve. I'm looking forward to this, actually. As weird as that sounds. A bowl game between 2-6-6 teams. Now, here's the thing you need to remember about this, though. Northwestern, under Pat Fitzgerald, has gone to 3 straight bowl games. This will be their 4th. Northwestern is a team that very quietly has become a mid-level Big Ten team, but they're a team that also has been proven to play very tough in bowl games. They've lost the last 3 bowl games, 2 of them in overtime and another one by a field goal. They're going to play hard. I'm taking Northwestern in the upset. Texas A&M just doesn't do much for me, and they're having a coaching transition. Take the Wildcats. Upset special.
The Sun Bowl.
Well, the Sun Bowl last year was certainly a heck of a lot more interesting than this year. Last year was Notre Dame-Miami. This year's Utah-Georgia Tech. Yay. Look, there's a lot of things to be concerned about in this game. There's a lot of things to look at in this game. One is that Utah doesn't have the usual disadvantage playing against an option team like most teams normally would, because Utah has a long history playing against Air Force in their Mountain West days. So I'm not really worried about Georgia Tech surprising them. On top of that, Georgia Tech has lost 4 of their last 6, and Utah has won 9 out of their last 10 bowl games, and their only loss was last season to Boise State. You know, Georgia Tech hasn't won a bowl game in half a decade. They've lost 6 straight. This is Utah all the way.
The Liberty Bowl.
All right, the Liberty Bowl. Normally this is SEC versus the CUSA champion, but this year it's SEC versus Big East. That gives us Vanderbilt and Cincinnati. This is Vandy's second bowl game since 1982. And the last time they played in a bowl game was in Nashville, and they won. So, you know, playing in their home state in the Liberty Bowl is certainly going to be an advantage for the Commodores. On top of that, I really like what James Franklin's done with this Vanderbilt team. Look, Cincinnati's done well this year, but they kind of lost their momentum whenever Zach Kolaris hurt himself. Nobody knows if he's really going to be able to play in this game. Flip side of the coin, Vandy, they're a team that's ready to springboard into being a pretty respectable mid-level team in the SEC. If the way that Franklin's recruiting and coaching is proving to be any indicator of the future, I'm thinking Vanderbilt to win the Liberty Bowl on New Year's Eve and start 2012 off with a bang for all those long-suffering Commodore fans.
The Chick-fil-A Bowl.
The last game of the 2011 calendar year is the Chick-fil-A Bowl, and it's Auburn versus Virginia. Now, the defending national champions are extremely lucky to even be in a bowl game. They should not have beaten Utah State. They had a couple really close calls against bad football teams. Flip side of the coin, Virginia is clearly a team on the rise. You know, they lost their last game against Virginia Tech, but they had won 4 games in a row, including a win at Florida State. And head coach Mike London has really built the atmosphere around this program in a fantastic way. Virginia thinks they can beat anybody. Here's another thing you need to see, too. Virginia against teams that had winning records, their defense only gave up 2 touchdowns a game. Auburn against teams with winning records, they gave up 5 touchdowns a game. On top of that, does anybody think Auburn really cares about the Chick-fil-A Bowl after playing in the national title game last year? I don't. This game means more to Virginia. They're going to get the job done. Virginia wins the Chick-fil-A Bowl over the Auburn Tigers.
On January 2nd, the Ticket City Bowl.
2012 begins with the Ticket City Bowl, Penn State versus Houston. This is an ugly game. Normally, when you look at a game between a 9-3 Penn State and a 12-1 team from a mid-major conference, you're thinking this could be a really fun game. But Penn State's players don't want to be in the Ticket City Bowl. Frankly, if the Sandusky stuff hadn't gone on, they would have been in a lot bigger name bowl. Meanwhile, Houston just lost the CUSA title game to lose a BCS bid, and then their head coach bolted for Texas A&M. Two teams, interim coaches, no replacements in sight. Just a mess, pretty much. It's the only way to look at it. Now, here's the thing, though. The one advantage, I think, really in this game is Case Keenum on Houston. It's his final game of his career. You know, and the Houston passing offense is the number one in the country. Penn State's got a good pass defense. So I don't think Houston's going to score a ton of points, but I don't think Penn State's going to be able to score a lot of points because they haven't all season. So by default, Houston's going to catch a play or two, and they're going to win this one. Plus, it's in their home state. Take the Cougars because this season, frankly, is a loss for Penn State at this point.
The Capital One Bowl.
Well, the Capital One Bowl this year is going to be a pretty interesting matchup between new member of the Big Ten, Nebraska, and South Carolina. Look, there's not going to be a lot of offense in this game. You have a great South Carolina defense in the top 10 in the country in scoring against a Nebraska team that hasn't scored more than 25 points in a game since middle of October. So there's not going to be a lot of scoring. Now, both these teams had bad bowl losses last year that they're trying to look to come back from. And, you know, this is going to be an interesting game. It's Big Ten SEC. This is supposed to be the biggest non-BCS game between these two conferences. This is going to be a low-scoring game. And, frankly, you know, this is a tough one. But I think South Carolina's going to score a defensive touchdown. That'll be the difference in the game. I'm very tentatively taking the Gamecocks to knock off the Cornhuskers.
The Gator Bowl.
All right, let's talk about the Gator Bowl, which, based upon the name recognition between Ohio State and Florida, is going to be one of the highest-rated games of the postseason. But it's a game between two 6-6 teams, and that's just a mess. But here's the thing. Ohio State went 6-6 this year under an interim coaching staff playing a lot of young players. Florida went 6-6 coming off a team that was a BCS Bowl winner 2 years ago that is loaded with talent and still only went 6-6. Florida also never beat anybody this year the caliber of Wisconsin. And frankly, Ohio State's 6-6 record, which includes that win over Wisconsin, I think it's a little bit of not really a good indicator of how quality this Buckeye team is. They're all five of their losses in the Big Ten were by a touchdown or less. And meanwhile, Florida's terrible offense also has to do with the fact that Charlie Weiss just bolted for Kansas. To me, this is going to be Braxton Miller's coming out party. And yes, Urban Meyer hangs over this game, but you know what? Urban Meyer's going to have a part in the game plan, whether he says it or not. And Ohio State's going to get the job done in this one. I'm picking the Buckeyes to beat the Gators in the Gator Bowl and start the Urban Meyer era off with a big win.
The Outback Bowl.
The Outback Bowl between Michigan State and Georgia. This is one of the better bowl matchups of the entire postseason. Now, this is a Michigan State team that I really think the last 2 years has established themselves as one heck of a football team. And this has all been overshadowed by the fact that they got absolutely romper stomped by Alabama last year in the Capital One Bowl. Now, Georgia's had a great year. You know, got to give the Bulldogs a lot of credit. They won 10 straight before playing in the SEC Championship game. Gave LSU a little bit of a scare in the first half. They've certainly turned themselves around from where they were last year. But I think Michigan State's a team that knows if they can beat an SEC team in the Outback Bowl, it'll validate their last two seasons, both of which they finished with double-digit wins. So I'm taking Michigan State to get the win here and send three-year captain Kirk Cousins out in the right way.
The Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
All right, the Fiesta Bowl this year, one of the best bowl matchups of the entire postseason, probably the one I'm looking forward to the most, Oklahoma State versus Stanford. This is going to be a great game. Two of the best quarterbacks in the country, Brandon Weeden for Oklahoma State, Andrew Luck for Stanford. You know, there's going to be a lot of scoring in this game. I think we should just pretty much put that out there. But the reason that I'm making my pick in this game is because Oklahoma State simply has more support for Weeden than Andrew Luck has on his team. Andrew Luck has some decent running backs with him. He doesn't have any speed outside. Brandon Weeden has Justin Blackman. He has a heck of an offense around him. And on top of that, Oklahoma's defense is number one in the country in turnovers. So I'm taking Oklahoma State to win the Fiesta Bowl in their first ever BCS appearance and knock off the Cardinal.
the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl.
It's the Rose Bowl. That's right, Big Ten versus Pac-12, the granddaddy of them all. All right, I'm not Keith Jackson, but Wisconsin-Oregon's a pretty exciting game to watch this year. You're looking at just two dynamic offenses between Wisconsin and Oregon. Both these teams just, they're going to score a lot of points, plain and simple. But it comes back to one thing for me, and one thing only. And it's the record of these two teams in major games. Wisconsin last year in the Rose Bowl, they were upset by TCU. It was a game that Wisconsin frankly should have won, and they spent this entire year with the goal of getting back and avenging that loss. On the flip side of the coin, every time Oregon plays against a good football team that has time to prepare for their offense, that has a way to deal with their up-tempo offense, it gives them more time to have their defenders in position to succeed. Boise State, Ohio State, Auburn, LSU, all those teams have beat Oregon with time to prepare in big games. And until Oregon wins a big game where teams have had two, 3 weeks to prepare for it, I'm not going to pick them to win, plain and simple. I'm taking Wisconsin to avenge last year's loss to TCU in the Rose Bowl, and the Badgers are the pick here.
On January 3rd, the All-State Sugar Bowl.
All right, who's ready for the Sugar Bowl? Michigan versus Virginia Tech. Great. Thanks a lot, BCS. Instead of giving us Boise State versus Michigan, which would have been a heck of a lot more interesting and a heck of a lot more worthy, we get Virginia Tech. Yay! Look, Virginia Tech, the only reason they even had a great record this year was because they played a lame schedule. They played nobody at a conference, and they got drilled by Clemson twice. That's all you need to know about Virginia Tech. Meanwhile, Michigan, look, everything has gone their way this year. Like, this has just been one of those years where Michigan's probably not as good as their record, but things are going their way, and they're riding the Hoke train of momentum. And frankly, Denard Robinson's the best player on either one of these football teams. Virginia Tech's not going to be able to stop them. Michigan's going to win the Sugar Bowl. Congratulations, Wolverines.
On January 6th, the Cotton Bowl.
All right, we've got the Cotton Bowl. Kansas State versus Arkansas. And frankly, this is one of the most exciting matchups of the entire bowl season for me. You have a Arkansas team that scores points in droves. An Arkansas team that's only two losses this year were to LSU and Alabama, so there's no shame in that. Going up against a Kansas State team that's frankly having one heck of a renaissance. Kansas State's record is a lot better than the sum of their parts, but they got a quarterback by the name of Colin Klein who plays football as tenacious as Tim Tebow did in his day. This is going to be a tight football game. Anybody who thinks it's not is simply not watching Kansas State all year. But in my eyes, look, as close as this game is, Arkansas has more weapons, and I think Arkansas is the team that's going to get it done, plain and simple. But this is going to be a fun game to watch in the Cotton Bowl, no question about it whatsoever. And I look forward to the day when the Cotton Bowl is actually a BCS Bowl like it should be.
On January 7th, the BBBA Compass Bowl.
So you follow up the Cotton Bowl and the Orange Bowl and the Sugar Bowl with the BBVA Compass Bowl on January 7th. Can we just get rid of these pointless games and move the national championship game back towards New Year's? That'd be fantastic. Anyways, this game should probably be called the Screw You Arizona State Bowl because SMU's head coach June Jones was ready to go to Arizona State until they pulled an offer, which has never been heard of before, at least in my eyes. I've never heard of a program offering a coach a job and then changing their mind. And then, of course, you have Pitt, whose head coach Todd Graham just bolted after one season to go to Arizona State. Now, my initial reaction to this was that Pitt was going to be the team to deal with here because SMU was going to be angry at their coach for going to leave them. Pitt was a program that was sort of starting to make some progress under Graham. Well, Graham's gone. And this is a Pitt team that was here last year in the Compass Bowl. At this point in time, I'm going to have to go with the team that at least has a head coach, and that's SMU. So SMU over Pitt in a game that, well, really means nothing.
On January 8th, the GoDaddy.com Bowl.
You know, normally when you see GoDaddy.com Bowl, you think, oh, great, lots of Danica Patrick ads. That's nice. I'm actually interested to watch this football game. This should be a pretty fun game. Northern Illinois, the champions of the MAC, versus Arkansas State, who are, of course, the champions of the Sun Belt. Now, these are two teams that know how to score points. There's really no question about it in my eyes. But you know what? These are two of the hottest teams in college football. You have Northern Illinois has won 8 games in a row. Well, Arkansas State has won 9 in a row. Here's the way I think you have to look at this, though, is that Arkansas State just lost their head coach, Hugh Freeze. He's going to be coaching the Ole Miss next year. But they've already brought in Gus Malzahn, who's the guy who ran Auburn's offense. He's their head coach next year. On top of that, if you look at Arkansas State, they actually have a defense. They're in the top 25 in the country in total defense. I mean, that's pretty crazy. So, you know what? Northern Illinois is not great defensively. Arkansas State's pretty decent against the run, and that's how Northern Illinois moves the football. So I'm going to take Arkansas State in this game, but it's going to be one heck of a shootout.
Finally, on January 9th, the BCS National Championship Game.
All right, the final game of the postseason, January 9th, nearly a month after the first bowl games are played. Not the regular season ends, the first bowl games are played. So it's LSU-Alabama. I've been against this rematch from the start. I hate this game on every front because LSU already played at Alabama, already beat Alabama at Alabama. And by the way, Alabama did everything right in that game except make field goals. So I'm thinking we'll probably see a touchdown or two in this game. Yay! And, of course, this is the game between the two teams that oversigned more than anybody else. So, of course, they have great depth. You know, championships built on the backs of broken dreams. Way to go, Les Miles and Nick Saban. I'm picking LSU to win again, though. Look, LSU beat Alabama at Alabama. This game is in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans, in the heart of LSU country. And by the way, this is the third time in a row that the national championship game has been played in New Orleans, and LSU's in the game. First two times, LSU won the national title. We're going to send out this three straight championships in the Sugar Bowl for LSU. Phew. All right, well, that's 35 bowl games, rapid fire, courtesy of yours truly, Matt Baxendale. Thank you all so much for tuning in on National Football Authority Radio. I strongly encourage you all to follow me on Twitter. It's at Matt Baxendale, MattBaxendell. And good luck to everybody this year in their college football bowl pick'em pools. And, of course, enjoy the games. It's going to be a long offseason when they're over. For all of us at NationalFootballAuthority.com, have a happy holidays and enjoy the games.
You're listening to National Football Authority Radio. NationalFootballAuthority.com, the shooting star of football coverage on the internet.